Hey guys, and welcome back to Real Talk LA. We have we have Giselle, Maria, Karen, and me in the building. And today we're going to be talking about gifts and anointing. So what is a gift? Anyone want to throw it? I'm throwing it out there. Anyone want to catch it? What is a gift? What do you think a gift is, Karen?
When you like specialize in, let's say you're really good in math, that's probably a gift.
What would you say one of your gifts are?
She's all not good at math.
Not good at math.
let me start about one of not my gifts that I have.
Dancing?
That's a gift. Yeah. That's a gift. That's my gift. What about you, Maria?
I think it can be a gift, can be as like, for example, having charisma. I think my ability to be very talkative and easygoing, I think that's a gift that I have.
Being outgoing, being able to
communicate
mm-hmm. in a better sense.
Yeah.
What about you, Giselle?
I agree with Maria. I mean, yeah.
What about you? What do you think a gift of yours is?
I'd say dancing and photography.
Yeah. That's pretty good. Dancing. Both of you dancers in the church ministry. So, well, we know this. Gifts, of course, are from God. We believe that firmly, that gifts are a gift from God. And, well, what do we do with those gifts? We have to use them. We have to steward them. What is stewarding? Do you guys know what stewarding is?
Can I take a guess?
Can I take a guess?
Put into good use?
Stewarding.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's something. You want to add on to that? Yeah.
No.
No, just say what you think it is. It doesn't. It's just. There might be people that.
I agree with Karen, but I don't feel like there's something more to it, but I just don't know.
Stewarding. You know, one of the first times we were told to steward something was actually in the beginning in Genesis, when God told us to steward the earth, which is take care of, govern over, use properly. Sense. Not control, not be a dictator over it, but work and take care of it.
Like when Adam named all the animals, he was stewarding. He was doing what, you know, God told him to do.
Mm-hmm. So basically to do something then, kind of?
Or to take care of it.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah, take care of it. And it's a vehicle for Christ, which pretty much a gift can be used through Christ to help for his kingdom. A gift, singing, dancing, all these things, worship, all these things can be used. And it's an extension of the soul.
A gift, too, can be something that is just, you're just born with. It's a gift is just basically considered something you possess, like only you possess. It's mm-hmm. it's unique to you. That gift is unique to you.
Yeah. And one of those things that I always see other people have that is crazy gift is having perfect pitch. Have you ever seen those?
I don't have that.
I don't have that either, but I know a few, especially in my college, that have it, and I'm just like, this guy's crazy. He can see sheet music and be able to replicate it with his voice exactly without even hearing it. He can just, I'm just like, wow, that is unbelievable. But that's a gift, and he's using it for God's kingdom. He's in the choir, he's in the worship ministry, he's actually going in missionary trips too. Yes. So like he's a vehicle for Christ. And one of the main things that gifts are, that they are usually seen. So everything we've talked about is usually seen. You can see Maria be able to socialize with other people, being able to get along with them. You can see you guys is using your dancing gift. For me, it would be a music, playing piano, even drums. Sometimes I have to do that. And also kind of being able to communicate. Maybe not as good as you, because Maria, you're on the next level when it comes to communicating.
I also think I think beauty and being good looking, I think that's also a gift.
Oh, that's a gift.
I say that with, and this is somebody that I see that in the Bible, was Esther. You know, she was preferred above all the thousands of women that was there because of her beauty, because of her presence, her elegance. And I think that has a place too in gifts. There's people that are just so beautiful to look at. There's models, there's all, they just have that beauty, you know, and it's like I said, unique to them. It's a gift given to them.
And now that we talked about like what is a gift, all this stuff, I want to go into like what a gift can be used for. And I actually thought of an analogy right now about it. Pretty much, so let's say, I mean, you have options, right? So it's either like Christmas, your birthday, or some day that you get a present, right? The person gifts you something. You have the choice whether you want to keep it, sell it, do whatever you want with it. Once it's given to you, it's yours. It's yours. You can do whatever you want with. And what does that entail? When God gives you a gift, you can use it for whatever you want. But the thing is, He called us to steward it, like I said in the beginning. We could use it for whatever we want. And it's a harsh thing to say, but it can be prostituted for gain.
That's true. Yeah.
It can be prostituted for gain. Every single gift here can be prostituted for gain. And what does that mean? Well, for me, in my example, I have musical abilities, all this stuff. I could be doing things, going to pubs, bars, playing over there, playing whatever like they want me to play for money, financial gain, all this stuff. With dancing, I don't want to get too much into it, but you could do crazy things with dancing.
But there's also really good things you can do with those gifts. There's people that dedicate their life of dance into teaching children how to dance, how to do ballet, how to, it's an art form, I think, a form of expression, not just to Jesus, but it's an art form. Just like there's painters that paint these amazing things, right? They can also paint monstrous things as well, and dedicate their paintings to other things. So it's also too in the heart and what you do it for. I think exploiting it is really just, like you said, denying the fact that, you know, it's God-given, and using it in a very perverse way that can definitely take you out of the presence of God, because you're not using it
that
properly.
That it's not aligned with what God wants for your life.
Yes.
That's what we mean when it comes to selling your gifts, selling the gifts to the world.
I have a little testimony actually about that. A while ago, I had a friend, you know, tell me like, hey, you know, I really want to do, I do music. He does world music. He's like, I really want to use your vocals. You know, you sing really nice. And I was like, no. I was like, right away, I was like, I don't have any intention in singing for the world in that way. Like, no. A couple years later, I get another request, but it's for children's music, which I was like, absolutely, yes, because it's about learning. It's educational. I think it's beautiful. And in that sense, it really brought peace to my spirit, because I was like, Lord, like, I want to do stuff too, like not just, you know, within the church, but I want to be of influence too outside. And this was the perfect place for me, because it's children's music, it's educational, I have fun singing it, you know, listening to it, and it's a pretty cool thing. So that's where I want to like kind of draw like the difference. Like, there is people that are just gifted, like for dancing, you know, they have ballet schools. I take my daughter to a ballet school, and those teachers are so gifted. I'm like, wow, they could only do what they're doing, you know. So it's also how you use it, and how like Joshua said, exploiting it is just taking it out of the purpose of God and disaligned with what God wants for you.
Gifts are useful for the kingdom of God, but in the same way, they're also can be corrupted and used for the kingdom of the world.
Definitely.
For everything else, gifts are valuable, and a lot of us don't put it to the standard that we should. Sometimes we think our gifts are like, it's fine, I can do it. But the thing is, our gifts are important. They're valuable. We have to put them in that higher standard. They're a gift from God. So we've been talking about gifts all this time. Now let's go talk about a little bit about anointing. So what is anointing? What do you think? What do you think, Karen? What is anointing? When you hear this guy is anointed, what do you think?
Oil.
That's one of the literal definitions for it.
Isn't anointing something that's like within, like something you can't see?
It's unseen, yes. Yeah. An anointing, it's unseen. It's also a gift from God. Same way, like a gift from God, anointing is also from God. it's also something that we have to steward. It's something that's not just appears with us one day. It's something that's formed, something that's built through relationship and commitment with God.
So is anointing like a deeper meaning to, or towards the gift?
It's more towards the aspect of what you are meant to do. Mm-hmm. Towards more that aspect.
So kind of like the purpose?
So like you have a gift. So let's imagine that. Right. Let's say your gift is singing. And then some people have anointing on that gift. Some people are able to use that gift, and God moves in incredible ways because that gift is what they have been anointed with. When I went to the concert of Karen Espinosa, there,
Espinosa,
yeah. We were there doing like a little before the concert, a little. They were talking about it, and she was talking about how, yeah, she sang, she wasn't that serious about it and everything. And then one day she was like in a church listening to preacher preach all they started ministering at the end, and all of a sudden something came over her, something called her in that moment. It was like, you are meant to sing. You were anointed to sing immediately. Not everyone will get that, like, you're anointed to do this and this and this. But mm-hmm. she did. She got it. She was like, but I don't know anyone. How's this possible? How am I going to be able to use my gift? No one knows me and everything. And then all of a sudden, like, she gets an invitation to Maverick City writing camp. Yeah. And from there, it just kept going up and up and up for her. Because she was like, I'm going to trust God.
Yeah.
I'm going to trust God. I'm going to see where this takes me. She trusted God. She went to that writing camp. All of a sudden, she was asked to start translating some of the songs. Wow. And that turned into actually her, like, singing those, all those songs. And then started being able to collaborate with other people. Yeah. Singing some of the most anointed songs today. You hear Yeshua being sung. And every, like, when that song came out, I remember, like, that ministry.
Yeah. And to clarify, anointing doesn't necessarily mean... you know, you could be anointed to do something, but it doesn't mean like you're going to be on a platform. I just mm-hmm. want to clarify that. You know, there's people that are just called for that. They're called for those things. But there's people that are also called to ministry within their church, to grow their church, to manifest the kingdom of God within their church. So I feel like a lot of people have this expectancy in the anointings, like, I'm anointed to sing, so I must get famous and get all of these things. It doesn't work that way. And a lot of people become distressed because of that, because they're looking for that. They're not looking for what God actually called them to do, which is to edify the church and to edify his kingdom, you know, here on earth. So yeah, it's two separate things. One of the things that I like to think about that in that sense is the difference between Saul and David. You know, Saul was chosen by the people. Saul looked like a king. He was the physical appearance of a king, which is why God told Samuel, well, anoint him, because people want a king. Well, that guy looks like a king. That's what they want. They mm-hmm. just want the appearance, right? And even though he was quote unquote anointed, he didn't follow God. He didn't have God in his heart. There wasn't an overflow of him following God's commands. So he basically cut the anointing by separating his relationship with God. And then we see David, who God saw, firstly, what? His heart. He saw his heart. He didn't look at his appearance, what he possessed, what family he came in, how strong he looked. Oh, this guy. No, he looked at his heart, his willingness. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, that's like Giselle said, it's the anointing comes within, outwards. Yeah. That's the best way that I can express that.
And, well, anointing, involves the ministry of Christ, is for kingdom purposes. That's what anointing is. And as a gift, it inspires, but anointing, it changes people. So sometimes you get those gifts that are like, oh yeah, it's inspiring me to do this, it's making me want to do this, but then you got anointing and all of a sudden the presence comes down and they change. Yeah, they get changed. Something inside them gets broken, some transformed. And unlike the gift, you cannot sell your anointing. You cannot sell your anointing. Because the anointing, what is the anointing again? It's the presence of God, what he's backing you up. what your mostly your purpose is and what he's backing you up, and you're anointed to do this. It could be something like Maria said, it doesn't have to be on a stage. It could be something as simple as you're anointed to reach out to a friend, like all of a sudden you're out here evangelizing one-on-one, and all of a sudden people are falling to their knees because God's using you and you are anointed to bring people like that to Christ. You could be anointed to do miracles, to heal. Yeah. You could be anointed to prophesy.
Yeah.
All these different things, and it cannot be sold, because the moment it starts turning into self-gain, God's not going to back you up.
Yeah.
That anointing's gone.
Yep.
Until you repent, and then maybe he'll give it back to you.
Definitely.
It cannot be sold. The gift forms self. Anointing forms Christ. It's a reflection of Christ. So, and anointing matures and is not corruptible. Mm-hmm. So, one thing that you mentioned, like, not on stage. Yeah. This is one key thing I found. Like, money and fame are not a byproduct of your anointing.
Yeah.
Money and fame are not a byproduct of your anointing. And what does that carry into? You see a lot of these artists, a lot of these people singing great songs, amazing songs. Nothing wrong with them. But the thing is, sometimes we tend to call them anointed. Sometimes we tend to go like, oh yeah, these people are anointed, but the reality is sometimes they're just there for an easy check, because a lot of, especially now, a lot of Christian ministries, they tend to hire just to hire because they want the best.
Yeah, and there's a thing that says gifted singer, not anointed. Gifted preacher, not anointed. Mm-hmm. Gifted intercessor, not anointed. There's people that are preaching, but they're just really charismatic that you believe it. You believe that it's, but you know, it's
they're
not.
Saying all the right things.
Yeah. And even singers there, I've, like Joshua said, I've heard so many people sing, do this, do that, but you can definitely in the spirit feel like the anointings, like Joshua said, it just entangles the room. It moves people, you know, in their hearts. There's a change. There's a transformation coming from that anointing.
And it's always crucial to go back. If you have an anointing on something and you know you're anointed in a certain aspect, that you continuously build your relationship with God. Don't believe it's your power. It's never going to be your power. Mm-hmm. It never started off your power. If you find like you're anointed for a certain thing, you consistently have to go back to God. Consistently have to refuel.
Definitely. No, yeah, it's very, I can definitely, it's very easy. It's very easy to start thinking that. It's happened to me where I was like, wait, whoa, you know, I would get a lot of compliments and it felt nice, you know, but that's where the devil kind of gets you. When you don't start receiving those compliments, you think you're terrible. You think you're, because you were so dependent on that. You're not depending on God, on what God said. Hey, for my glory, for my honor, for everything that I'm doing through you, it's not you, it's me, you know? And if you stray away from that, it's very easy to look at your gift as like an idol. You start to idolize it. You start to do all of these things, not because God told you, but because you have the gift for it, right?
Yeah.
So that's where prayer comes in. That's where you ask God. That's where God tells you whether you're qualified to do those things or not. Mm-hmm. Because you might not, just because the door is open doesn't mean you should go right in. You know, there's certain things that just because you have the gift for it, you should take your gift there. Because it's like Joshua said, it's like abuse, basically, of the gift. And that's what you're doing if you're not using it properly for his kingdom. Like Saul did. He started to do so many stuff straight away. And God was like, wait a minute. I never told you to do these things.
Yeah.
So what happened to him? God took the crown from him. Took that from him. Wow. And said, hey, you know what? No.
Yeah. And I think this is a good way to end off the first half. Real talk. Next, when we come back, we're going to be talking about more about the gift and more about the anointing. We'll be back. And we are back with Real Talk LA.
Woo! Yeah.
All right. So we have Kaylee, Michelle, and Eddie in the studio right now. And I want to ask you this question. What are your guys' gifts? Let's start with Eddie. Eddie, what is your gift?
I think my gift in this world is helping people.
Generosity. Yeah, helping people. It comes down with it. Helping people.
Yeah.
Giving a gift. What about you, Michelle?
I think just learning stuff fast.
The gift of intelligence?
Learning. I don't know.
She got the Einstein IQ.
Yeah, I pick up stuff really quick.
All right, what about you, Kaylee?
Well, like podcast related, I feel like the TikTok.
It doesn't have to be podcast related, just generalized. what do you think related. A gift?
Charisma. From Maria. She's saying charisma.
Charisma. Where if you guys want to catch up, we were talking about gifts, anointing, something that is given from God, also a gift given from God, but anointing cannot be corrupted. It's for God's kingdom. Mm-hmm. It's only for God's kingdom. And it's God working through you, with you. And it can only work if God is in a consistent connection with you. And you had a definition over here that I want to hear. That
I'd said that gift is give someone the ability to do something, and then the anointing is a calling that gives them their identity and their purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anointing, it forms maturity. A gift does not speak maturity at all. It doesn't have anything to do with maturity, but anointing, it does have to do with maturity. It matures you. So I want to go back to gifts a little bit. So gifts, right? It's something that God gives us. We talked about in the first part of the podcast. And the thing is, with a gift, it can become an idol. Now, what is an idol, Kaylee? Katie. I almost kissed Katie.
My name is Kaylee.
Kaylee. What is an idol? Just generalize. What is an idol?
Like, basically, someone you worship, I guess.
Something
you could
someone?
Say, yeah, something someone that you basically worship, like an idol.
Something that is that you put above God, pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And your gift can become an idol. And how do we see that nowadays? How can your gift become an idol? How do you know? How do you know a gift becomes an idol? Do you guys want to throw something out there?
You like focus more on it than like for example, sometimes, like I remember when I first started playing piano, I remember when we would like all talk and everything. You guys would say like always remember the reason why you're doing what you're doing, because sometimes, like for example, like say you start playing piano, sometimes you focus on that and you just go to play, but you don't realize what you're doing it for. So I feel like in a way that could describe it, not putting God first. I don't know if that makes sense.
Other importance, just you know it's an idol when you have to, when God or maybe someone else takes it away from you, and how you react. Because some of us, let's say, for example, if you took away my ability to play piano, I would still be serving in church in whatever way I can. The piano does not define me. But per se, let's say if it did define me, if they took it away from me, then I would...
You would leave
if
church.
It was an idol, I would be very upset. I would be coming to church in a bad mood. Mm-hmm. I'd be doing the bare minimum work. I'd be just in consistent disobedience the whole time. Because why? Because I wasn't going to church because of God. I wasn't going to church to serve him. I was going to church because I wanted to play and show off my gift. Mm-hmm. And that's what Kaylee was pretty much talking about.
Yeah, that's pretty much
it. If you don't know why or what you're using your gift and what the purpose for your gift is, it's most likely going to be becoming an idol. So it's really important to recognize if it's getting to that point. Some people, if they're not able to serve or help others or not be able to consistently be moving, they'll be like, this church doesn't want me. I'm going to another church. Because they're going to use my stuff, all these things. And then you're just like, holy, maybe it wasn't the reason they were going to church was for God. It's because they wanted to be able to do things.
Oh, like, and a good example would be in the movie Jesus Revolution, right?
Yeah.
Lonnie.
Yeah.
When he started... Like, oh, it's me. Like, remember? Like, I don't know if you guys remember.
Yeah, I remember that part where he started trying to... He had an anointing for something at the beginning, like, towards... And he was prophesying, healing. doing all these things, but then towards the end, he started trying to use it to, it was me, I have to do this, everyone put attention on me, and then God wasn't backing him up, and then he was like, everything was because of me. He made himself the idol. Center,
yeah.
Mm. He made himself the most important thing in his life.
So can you relate this to, like, outside of church, basically?
Well, anything.
Yeah. Like sports players, for example.
If they put sports above God in any circumstance, what does that mean? What happens when you put sports above God? What does that look like?
Horrible.
What does that look like? Example. Let's say you want to be in this team so badly. They're asking you to do things that are putting, like, maybe some propaganda that goes against the Bible on stuff, promoting certain things. If you're not able to be on the team, and they're doing all these things because they value that more than what God has called them to do. That's idol. Mm-hmm. They may have been raised Christian. They may have been done this. But if they put things above God. You can also be. It doesn't necessarily have to come to that, because I know really people that have good relationship with God that don't go to church. But it could look like that. It could be a first sign. Making excuses not going to church because you have this certain thing to go. Mm. A lot of people, without knowing, they make the NFL their idol. They're like, I got to be there on NFL Sunday because I got to watch the game. And then you don't go to church that week or the next week. Or maybe you go once a month and you feel good about yourself. I cleanse myself. But I've been going to these NFL games all the time. It could become an idol to that, because you're valuing the NFL over the time you're spending with God. And sometimes the only time you spend with God is on Sunday. That's hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That's how you can relate it to other things. It could be, you can make work your idol.
Oh, yeah.
Your gift, you can be so like, oh, I love my job so much that you're spending every single day. You don't take any time for Christ. You're going to work every single day. You're neglecting everything else.
This.
The phone.
How do you know?
Mic drop.
How do you know? It's we're going into the broader aspect of what an idol is. But yeah. I mean, technically anything can become an idol. And your gift can become an idol. The thing that God gave you could become an idol.
Mm-hmm. And what happens when that happens?
Bad stuff.
God takes it away.
Oh, yep. Sometimes God will
is a jealous God.
Sometimes God will have to destroy your gift. Sometimes he will have to tear it, take it back, because he sees that you're not able to steward it. So, and I have an example here. So, Abraham made an idol of God's promise, of God's gift to him. What was that promise? Do you guys know?
No, I forgot.
Abraham.
Oh, Abraham. The son?
Yeah.
Having the son?
He wasn't able to conceive. He was trying. God gave him a promise that...
He was going to have
a kid. You're going to have a kid. You're going to have a son. It's going to be my gift to you. Mm-hmm. But Abraham idolized that promise so much that he took it into his own hands. He took it out of the hands of God. The man, the creator, the Messiah, the Savior. He took it out of his... was like, I'm gonna take this gift and put it in my own hands. And then he had a kid with the servant.
Yeah.
And what happened? God still kept his promise. He still had the promise, but he ended up doing something against God's will. Mm-hmm. And he ended up costing a lot more than
Like that whole generation get like cursed or something?
Yeah, the generation got cursed.
Right.
And it was a whole entire thing. People. He committed adultery, first and foremost. And then, he cursed a whole entire nation, a whole generation for because of that.
His bars.
So, what also can be a gift that God gives that we take for granted, and sometimes we end up making a big idol to ourselves. It's a generalized thing. I'm gonna give you guys a hint. It's something that we do here. It's the generalization of what we do here.
Influencer.
A
general thing that we do?
Ministry.
Oh.
Ministry. We're all ministers. If you're serving, you're a minister. Oh. And sometimes we idolize it, the ministry. We put the ministry before God. Sometimes we're like, oh, this thing gotta stay this way because that's how it's growing. And sometimes God's telling you to do, you're not supposed to be maybe doing this. You're supposed to be doing it this way. But you're like, but it's working this way, so I'm gonna keep doing it this way. You're idolizing your ministry. And sometimes we think that the ministry is the thing that fills us. Sometimes we think it's the ministry that fills us, but in reality
it's God.
God fills us, and the ministry that exhausts us in reality. And I know it's a fact, because what is ministry? What do you think ministry is?
Like the media ministry, the dance ministry, the
but worship. What is, what are they all trying to achieve?
They're all trying to serve, like help other people serve worship.
Right? That was a bunch of jumble words. Michelle, what is ministry?
Isn't it like subgroups?
Don't make it super like generalized. What's their purpose? What's their purpose?
To serve God, to bring people to church.
Serve God. That's what ministry is. Serving God. And how do you serve God? You're serving the people through because of God. That's the main, that's simple. I don't know where she's going with subdivisions.
Oh, sorry.
It's crazy.
Sorry, I was studying for like a business test.
For for real. You're pulling out the subdivisions. But yeah, then you feel exhausted because sometimes we think the ministry is the thing that fills us. But the thing is, God's the one that fills you. And if you're idolizing the ministry, nothing's filling you. And you're just emptying yourself out until there's nothing. You get absolutely exhausted. You don't want to serve anymore. You don't even want to go to church. You just want to come, maybe just lay down in bed and just go, pass away. So what? How do we, but the thing is, we have to cultivate anointing. Cultivating anointing is pretty much spending time with God, not getting filled by ministry, not getting filled by things of the world, but getting filled by God and his presence. And that's how you get that anointing. Being able to say, I need you, God. I need you alone. That's why we have so many songs that pretty much say that we need. All I need. Copyrighted.
That's crazy.
Copyright.
I need you, God. Be humble. Be humble. And let's see if you guys remember this. The story that I always bring up. What's the key to being humble? Servant. You remember that story?
No.
We talked about it in a Bible study.
Bro, in the Bible.
Jesus.
Story. Jesus?
It was a story about Jesus and his disciples. And feet.
Oh.
What? They were washing. Oh, it was to show that even Jesus can do it, so everyone can do it.
He humbled. Yeah. He became a servant. How do we end up being able to be filled more of anointing? We have to be servants. We have to be able to be humble.
Yeah.
Just like even Jesus demonstrated. But I wanted to talk about sometimes we think we are anointed in a certain way when we're not. And how would you think you're anointed in a certain way? Okay, so let me give you an example. So we're in church, right? There's a atmosphere of praise and worship going on. Let's say this person starts singing and they're like, holy smokes, I'm anointed. All these people are receiving the thing. But the reality of the situation was they're not the ones carrying the anointing. It was another person that was accumulating that anointing throughout the week, but they're the ones that are just being able to partake in the atmosphere of anointing from other people. And that sounds complicated, right? That sounds complicated.
But right? I have no idea what you said.
It pretty much is. Sometimes we think we're called to do something, but because sometimes we confuse it with other people's anointing, because sometimes you're surrounded by some people that are anointed with a certain thing that you feel like, oh wow, I'm anointed with that too. But in reality, you're just riding the waves of other people.
You're switching from the person.
Yeah, you're just riding the waves of the cultivated anointing that other people have with God. And it tends to happen a lot.
So is that a bad thing?
Well, it's a bad thing because you think that you're something you're not. because everyone has a different anointing, and sometimes we think, oh, we found our anointing. Let's say a prophet comes in, starts prophesying, and sets an atmosphere of prophecy, and all of a sudden you prophesy, and you're like, maybe I'm a prophet. But then once that person's no longer there, you're like, I'm a prophet, no, I'm a prophet, no. But you don't have that anointing, and nothing comes out. It was just because of the atmosphere that person set. Which we, like I said, we tend to do a lot. So we really have to be careful. We really have to be careful. We have to find our anointing. And how do we find our anointing?
Pray.
Be in a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. Communion with God. Because he will reveal.
Yeah, and he won't just reveal it like one time. He's going to constantly like, this is what you're called to do. This is what you're supposed to be doing.
He's going
to
be backing you.
Yeah.
Consistently. He's going to be like, you need to be doing this. Wow. I used to do it in this way right here. This is what you're meant to do. Oh, but it was like a one-time thing. Mm-hmm. No. Do it again.
Yeah.
Do it again. I'm going to work through you right here. Do it again. Yeah. And sometimes we tend to want certain things for ourselves. We may have like lots of gifts. Like for me, it's like, I love music, all this stuff. But the more I grow in Christ, the more I work in this, the more I'm like, yeah, I love it so much. I would love to be a full-time minister in music and all this stuff, but I don't think that's my anointing. That's not what I've been called to do. Maybe it's a part of my journey, but that's not it. That's not the end. Maybe different for someone else. Maybe it is what they were called to do. Be ministers, go around singing, praising God like David did with his harp. But sometimes our anointing is not exactly what we expect it to be. Mm-hmm. So maybe a shy person will be one of the greatest preachers in our time. Maybe a person that can't even sing today is meant to be singing. And with a little bit of training, anointed. Sometimes the anointing comes from different areas that we don't expect. Mm-hmm. So we have to keep our hearts open and our minds focused on God. Hearts and minds focused on God.
Okay, guys, to end this off, I would just say to ask God to carry and like store those gifts in your process and then anoint them.
Anoint and steward your gifts?
Bars.
Ask God for guidance.
Ask God for guidance, yep. And well, just like the Apostle Paul had a gift for reaching out to all those people around, because you know the disciples didn't want to do it at first, but Apostle Paul had to come in here and start ministering to everyone. Sometimes it's going to make us go out of our comfort zone. Mm. Sometimes we want to stay in our little bubble, like all the disciples wanted to stay with the Jewish people and keep preaching to them with just a little bit of others. But the thing is, God is calling us to be radical out of our comfort zone. You want to find your anointing? You got to be radical. You got to be willing to get a little bit risky, a little bit dangerous, a little bit uncomfortable, because God always works when you're not comfortable.
You have to sacrifice.
Sacrifice is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You got to sacrifice.
Or giving up. I don't know.
Sacrificing things.
Yeah.
That's so true. Because when you're you get too comfortable, when you get out of your comfort zone is when you grow, is when you challenge yourself. Mm-hmm. But if you stay comfortable, you don't grow, because there's no room. Yeah. You're not giving yourself any room to grow.
Precisely. Words of wisdom from Kaylee. All right. So just to end this off, we're going to do a quick prayer. But remember, God is always looking to help you in your path to find him. He's never going to be like, oh, just go on your own and find out my mysteries. No, he will guide you within. You just have to let him in. That's the first step every single time. Whether you're studying the Bible, praying, all these other things, you got to let God in. You got to let God be number one, not you, not anything else, not your gift, not anything else. So bow your head, close your eyes, except if you're driving. Dear God, thank you for this podcast, Lord. Thank you for everyone that was able to speak today, Lord. I pray that you bless each and every individual's lives, Lord. I pray for the people listening to this podcast. I pray that you allow them to find that anointing, allow them to steward the gifts that you gave them. Lord, I ask and pray that you keep lifting them up. And if they already know where they're supposed to be doing, that you keep backing them and backing them, Lord, that their love for you never grows cold, just like your love never grows cold. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen.
Amen. Amen.
This has been Real Talk LA. We'll be seeing you guys in the next one.